We invite you to take your Bibles once again this evening and turn to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. We're turning to chapter 27, and we want to commence reading at verse number 1. Proverbs 27 and verse number 1. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is available to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray you'll write these words upon our heart. We thank thee for thy instruction. Lord, so many of these things we can identify with, so many things we can put into place immediately. We pray, Lord, that what you've laid upon my heart tonight will be of benefit to this congregation, to those watching online, to those watching wherever they are in this world tonight. May they stop where they are. May they listen to the voice of God. And may there be a word in season for their waiting heart. Oh, Lord, we know not. We know not what will be the very next moment. And therefore, we pray you'll cause us to spend now wisely, now spending time to listen to thee. Empty me of self and sin, fill me with thy spirit, I pray, and may there be signs following the preaching of thy word. For the glory of thy precious name, I ask all these things. Amen and amen. We're doing a series at the moment on gospel verses in the book of Proverbs. Week one there, we looked at Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Last week, we thought of Proverbs 16, verses 5 through 6. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination unto the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth is iniquity purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Tonight, we want to come to probably a very familiar verse in Proverbs chapter 27. It's the first verse. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In order to fully understand what this proverb is teaching us, we need to understand what the word boast means. The word boast is a very interesting word, and it's used throughout Scripture in various forms. Now, the word in the Hebrew is halal, and it's one of two words that join together to make up the word hallelujah. The actual word hallelujah is not found in the Bible. But in the book of Psalms, there are 10 Psalms that begin with the phrase, praise ye the Lord. And the Hebrew on the original reads hallelujah. The word praise being hallel and ye the Lord, yah. If you don't want to turn back there, you will see Psalm 150 is one of those psalms. Praise ye the Lord. And in the Hebrew it is hallelujah. Now the Greek word alleluia, it's beginning with A, is found in Scripture. It means the same thing. It's found in Revelation chapter 19 and it's used there four times. So the word boast or halal means praise. It means to make a show, to celebrate, to commend, or to glory in something. When someone says, praise the Lord or hallelujah, they are boasting in the Lord. They are celebrating who God is and they're giving glory to him because he's worthy of such praise. It's interesting to note that the word boast is translated in Proverbs 31, just over the page, There in Proverbs 31, verse number 28, it says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." And that word praiseth is the exact same word as translated boast there in Proverbs 27. And there's a lovely thought there. In the marriage union, the one should praise the other, and they should lift up one another in their words. They ought not to pull down, they ought not to seek to hurt with their words, but to praise and to edify one another. In Psalm 105, verse number 3, the word halal is translated glory. "Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." So it's translated praiseth, it's translated glory, and it is used in Scripture to speak of praise, or to speak of celebrating something, or to give glory to someone or something. So that gives us an idea of the meaning of the word boast. But the first thing I want you to notice in Scripture is that boasting is wicked when its focus is wrong. Boasting is wicked when its boasting and its focus is wrong. There are several times in the Bible that we read of the Lord speaking against foolish boasting. It is exposed to be sinful, wicked, and abhorrent unto the Lord. And I want to show you just a couple of those right now before we consider this verse in a little bit more detail. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 14. We read, It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. And the idea is here of two men who are trying to come to some arrangement about selling something. And the person who's buying is really playing down the cost of something. It's not worth that. It's not worth that. It's really not worth what you're charging me for. I'm going to give you less. I'm going to give you a bit more less for it. And basically, he gets it for an absolute bargain. And the man who sold it probably doesn't make a very good profit at all. He's no better off. And yet the man has acted as if, well, it's not really worth anything at all, so I'm just going to give you a little for it and take it away. Then he goes away and he boasts, "Look what I got. I got this for so much, but it's worth so much more." That boasting is wicked. That boasting is sinful because he's done someone out of the money that they ought to have. It was deception. Not only that, there are those who boast of their sinful desires. Psalm 10 and verse number 3. And not only does the Lord speak against those who boast deception, but those who boast of their sinful desires. And it says in verse 3, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth." Now, the Lord is against the sinner, and especially here it's emphasized that a sinner before God often boasts of his heart's desire. He rejoices in his sin. He glories in his sin. The things that he thinks about, he goes to his friends, he talks about them, he laughs about them, at the sinfulness and the wickedness of his heart. They bless the covetous all the while. In other words, we'll do what we want, and we praise those who are out for themselves. And all the while, the Lord is looking on, and the Lord abhorreth. In Proverbs chapter 25, and verse number 14, it says, "Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain." You see, there are those who make empty boasts of ability or talents. "Oh, I'm so great, and I'm wise in this area, and I'm so knowledgeable in this area," but it's all talk. And when you have to depend upon them for something, they can't do the simplest task that they claim they could do. And friend, that's an awful thing to do, is to present yourself in a very false light and to be more than you actually are. And there are those who boast of things that they do not actually possess. There are those that boast of their wealth and their riches. Just turn to Psalm 49. And we read there in Psalm 49, verse 6 and 7. "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." Verse 9, "that he should still live forever and not see corruption." You see, there are those who boast of what they have materially in this world. My friend, that's foolishness in the sight of God, because the redemption of their soul is precious, and they cannot redeem their soul. The things that they're boasting of cannot translate to eternity. The things that they're boasting of cannot make them right before God. The things that they're boasting of cannot save or satisfy their soul. And therefore, what foolishness it is. Then there are warnings in the Bible against those who boast of their sinful practices as well, and their temporal powers and their unjust dealings. And we'll just do one more reading here before we go on. For example, in Psalm 94, verse 4. How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. And here the psalmist is pouring out his heart. Lord, look at the wicked and how boastful and how proud they are of what they're doing and their sinfulness and their sinful practices and their sinful activities. And they say in verse 7, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. And here's a word for those who are so proud of their sinfulness, so proud of the fact they do not belong to the Lord, so proud of the fact they've nothing to do with the Bible or Christianity. Understand, ye British among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, but they are vanity. Friend, you might be living your life at this time, and you might boast of those sinful relationships, or those sinful activities, or those sinful places that you go, or those sinful things that you do. And you think, nobody sees me, and I do my own thing. Friend, the Lord God seeth you. He hears the words you speak. He sees the things that you do. The Lord has full knowledge of who you are and all things that you have done. There is nothing hid from his eye. And your boasting is foolishness before God. How wonderful your life is empty, because you know what? It's going to come to an end, and then the judgment. And maybe that's the way you've been living your life, boasting about how great life has been without God. Maybe someone in your home, maybe someone in your workplace has talked about getting saved, or they got saved and said, oh, that'd be a waste of time. My life's far better without the Lord, without Christians, without church, without any of those things. Friend, boasting is wrong when the focus is wrong. But boasting is good when the focus is correct. When the thing that is being praised and gloried in is worthy of praise and glory. When the husband praises his godly wife, that's a good thing to rejoice in. That's a good thing to glory in. That's a gift from the Lord. In Psalm 34, we read of good boasting. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And then he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And the basis of the psalmist boasting in Psalm 34 is the fact that the Lord has delivered him. The Lord has saved him. The Lord has been so good to him. And he says, I am going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord, that people around me might know who he is. I wonder if people heard you speaking about the Lord. Is it rejoicing? Is it praising? Is it lifting him up? Or is it complaining about his church? Is it complaining about his people? Is it always something that's negative? Friend, it is good to rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Psalm 44, verse 8, in God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Selah. And that word, just stop, think about that for a moment. In God we boast all the day long. There's not a minute of any day or night where God is not worthy of our praise. There's no reason why our lips should cease from praising him. And therefore, it ought to be that we would be like the psalmist in Psalm 44, verse 8, and make it our business to be in the praise of the Lord all the day long. Praising him in our mind, praising him with our lips, with our life, as we live it as an act of worship and praise unto God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For ye are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And what is being reminded here is this: you cannot boast in the works, because they cannot save you, but Christ has saved you, and therefore we preach him, and we promote him, and we praise him. The word boast in the New Testament is also translated to vaunt or to glory or to rejoice. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21, "Therefore, let no man glory in men." And I think that's a very important verse, and one that we could do well to underline. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 21. "Therefore, let no man glory in men." Oh, may that be written across our hearts. Yes, we thank God for those who are faithful. We thank God for those who are an encouragement to our soul and those who teach us and all of those wonderful things. But let us never glory in the man. Let us glory in the Savior. Don't hold man on a pedestal. Don't exalt man for the praise that is due unto the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 17, it says, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And that's the same word as boast. "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, verse 1. And we've just one more verse after this, and then we'll come back to our text. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 3, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and all the charity or the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer." And there it says in verse number 4, "We ourselves glory in you for your patience and all." So what he is saying is that they praise and give glory to God for this church, for how they are coming through this work, because they're counted worthy of the kingdom of God. They're suffering for the kingdom of God. They're going through difficult times, but they're still remaining faithful. Praise God whenever we see that happening, whenever we see the church going through difficult times, and we see maybe a congregation going through a difficult time, but they're standing by the work. They're standing by the stuff. And we ought to thank God for such things. These are the things that we rejoice in and we praise the Lord for. I believe ultimately it's summed up in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 14. And it says there, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Ultimately, when we boast or glory in something, it ought always to be that we get to the source of the blessing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our salvation is of Christ. Anything that we have, any ability, talent, or gift is from the Lord, and we ought to give God the glory for what he has given to us. And praise God for those who do praise God for these things, because sometimes we maybe just take our cares to the Lord and our complaints to the Lord, but take time to praise God for who he is and for what he has done and for the multitude of blessings he has bestowed upon you. So as we come back to Proverbs 27 and verse number 1, we've had a little, I suppose, Bible study on the word boast and how that there are things and times when it's wrong to boast in certain things and practices. But while the boasting is in the right focus and it's focused on the right thing, then we can boast and do so well and glory and praise and give honour to the Lord. But in this particular verse, it talks about something we ought not to boast about. And it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow." Boast not thyself of tomorrow. And this is wrong. Boasting about tomorrow's experiences, or even boasting about tomorrow's existence, that we are definitely going to be there tomorrow. Now, we are to plan for the future. It's not that we're not to talk about tomorrow or to make plans for tomorrow. This is wisdom. We are told about the ant in Proverbs 6, verse 8, "She provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." So that's preparation, and we should take that note and be prepared in life. But we are not to make boast or glory about the fact that we will definitely see tomorrow. Oh yes, for all who are listening to my voice this moment, tomorrow has always come for you. But listen to the words of the Lord, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You see, you may not see it. The present that you bought for that special occasion, you might not give it. The food that you have bought and stored in the kitchen this past week, you may never use it. The fuel you put in your car this week, you may never need it. Not one person can guarantee that they will see tomorrow. You see, so many people boast about their plans. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And for some, it's a diary with the plans in it. And for others, it's a phone or a computer and the plans are made and they can access it so quickly. And again, it's not wrong to make plans. But to have such confidence that this is definitely going to happen, every plan should be followed by DV, Lord willing, in the will of the Lord, in the providence of God, this will be done or that will be done. Reminded of the farmer in Scripture, I will pull down these barns and build greater, and I will do this, and I will do this. But that very night, the Lord took his soul. And that farmer's sin was not the fact that he made plans. The farmer's sin was the fact that he had left God out of his plans. No thought of God, no time for God, no concern about his soul. This night shall thy soul be required of thee. He obviously wasn't in ill health because he was about to start a building project. And friend, you could be about to start a building project. You might have plans for tomorrow, and yet tonight the Lord is saying, this night thy soul could be required of thee. The Lord had all our plans. And we've got to realize that when we look at our diary for tomorrow, the Lord might have other plans for us. But I'm especially thinking here about those who consider that they have an opportunity sometime in the future, some tomorrow, to get right with God, to settle the matter of their soul's salvation. I'm talking to the unsaved tonight. And the one who's listening to this message, who knows that they are not saved, but in their heart they know that there is a God who has created them and before whom they will stand. I'm speaking tonight to the individual who knows that they are a sinner in the sight of the Lord. And as they stand tonight, they're on the broad road and they are a heartbeat from hell. I'm speaking to the individual tonight who knows that there's only one way to be saved. And that is by repenting from sin and trusting in the finished work of the cross in Calvary, believing that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. I'm speaking to the one who knows the hymns. I'm speaking to the one who knows the choruses and the Bible verses and the Bible lessons and could actually preach the gospel and tell someone else how to be saved. To that person, they do not need to be convinced that they're a sinner. They know it. They do not need to be convinced that Christ is the only way to be saved. They know it. But here's the problem. They're going to wait a little longer and put it off until another time. Until the church starts back. I'm going to wait until the church starts back and then I'll get saved when the meetings start again in the church. I'm going to wait until the next gospel mission comes and there's going to be a big campaign and all people will be gathering and I'll get saved then. Maybe someone has been watching this meeting tonight. And you know that the Lord is calling you, and even in your heart tonight, even this very day, you've said the words, well, I'll wait until tomorrow and think about it then. How do you know you'll have the opportunity to think about it tomorrow? How do you know you'll have another opportunity to consider the matter of your soul? I've heard some people who foolishly said, I'll cry out on my deathbed and get right with God. Friend, how do you know that you'll have a deathbed? How do you not know, or how do you know that you'll not fall down dead suddenly without warning, without time to consider or call upon the Lord? I stood at deathbeds, wanting to speak to someone about their soul, and they didn't want to know. The reality is, you don't know whether you'll be in a deathbed or whether you'll be sitting or lying on the floor. For you could be taken suddenly from the scene of time. And therefore, the Lord says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. I remember when I was in Bible college, at that time it was in Lawrence Town, and just a few miles from Banbridge, and each morning I went to the swimming pool, and I was there about 7 every morning. And you started to get to know people as you went from Monday to Thursday when I was down at Bible college, and there's this man, I suppose he was maybe in his 60s, he had retired, and we were chatting one morning just after I'd had a swim, and he was asking where I lived or what do I do with myself, and I told him it was a Bible college, and as soon as I told him that it's a Bible college, his ears kind of pricked up, and he says, so you believe in God? And I goes, yes, I do. And he goes, well, I'm angry at God. And I thought to myself, well, why? And it turned out that his brother had been murdered in a town elsewhere in the province. And the family knew who had murdered the brother. And the murderers were walking around and smirking their face, and nobody could do anything about it because the people who ought to have given evidence wouldn't give evidence against him. A man's brother was taken out into eternity as a young man, and that man was angry with God because of the injustice that he had seen regarding his brother's death. I remember leaving that day, I said a few things to him, but I remember leaving that day and just praying, Lord, please give me the opportunity to give something to this man that'll speak to his heart. And as I prayed, the Lord laid two things upon my heart, and one was a booklet by John Blanchard, Where is God When Things Go Wrong? And the second was New Beginnings by Dr. Alan Kearns. Went to the bookshop, I bought the two books, and I put them in a bag, and I put them in my bag and went to the swimming pool the next day. And my heart was just absolutely beating within my chest. I was very nervous. I didn't really know this man. He was obviously angry against God. And I just prayed, Lord, give me the opportunity to share this with him. And just after we finished and just got changed and I was about to leave, I said, look, you were speaking to me yesterday. And I listened to what you said, and look, I want to give you a couple of booklets. I hope you don't mind. I said, would you be willing to accept these? He goes, yes, I will. And he said, I want to thank you for even thinking about this or even having the concern enough to give these to me. And he goes, I will read them. I will read them. And I went away and I prayed about it, and I came back the next morning. It wasn't there. Came back the next morning. It wasn't there. Come back the following week, he wasn't there. And I never saw that man again in my life. Never saw him. He'd been there for months, every single morning. Now, I do not know what happened. Maybe he changed his time. I just don't know. But I know this, that was my final opportunity to give him the gospel. And I'm so glad that the Lord gave me that opportunity. I don't know where that man is today. I know if he's living or if he's been called out into eternity, but I thank God I gave him that book. Maybe there's a Christian and the Lord's laid someone in your heart. Friend, do not boast yourself of tomorrow. Pray the prayer tonight. Deliver that tract or that booklet as soon as you can. Send that message as soon as you can. Don't boast yourself of tomorrow. What you can do today, do it. Tomorrow's opportunities may never, ever arise. Friend, this verse tells us why we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In James chapter 4, in verse number 13, we read, I suppose, the commentary on this verse, we could call it. And it says there in verse 13, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." Whenever we consider those words, "ye know not what shall be on the morrow." Pray, we don't know. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. Are you humble enough and wise enough to say those words with me? I don't know what will happen tomorrow. Will you admit before God? I don't know what will happen tomorrow. I hear the skeptics say, but chances are things will be okay. Friend, thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. I hear another person say, "Preacher, you could be gone before me." That's true. But thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I hear another person scoffing, "Well, I'm healthy and well right now. Medically speaking, I have nothing to worry about." That's true. But thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Remember what God says. Thou knowest not. And because of our lack of knowledge and the uncertainty of tomorrow, how can we wisely face tomorrow? How can we do that? Well, by acknowledging we may not reach it. By acknowledging we may not see it. And therefore, today is the opportunity to get right with God. This very moment is your God-given opportunity to get your soul saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Men, women, boys and girls, the Bible tells you to call upon the name of the Lord that you might be saved. The salvation that is spoken of in the Bible doesn't say, "Trust God tomorrow." No, it says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 1, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He doesn't say, "Come tomorrow." The Lord says, "Come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together." Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 15. "Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Friend, whenever Scripture is speaking about salvation, it says today, it says now. Only a fool will say, "I will have the opportunity tomorrow to do this." And what if this is your final day? What if this is the final day you have on this earth? What if there's just a few grains left of sand in the hourglass and the duration of your life is about to run out? Where will your soul be? You can't boast in tomorrow. You can't boast in your works. But praise God, if you're saved, you can boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can say with a hymn writer, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." You know, the only person who can say, tomorrow I will, is the Lord. In Exodus chapter 10, he said, "If thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring the locusts into thy coast." And you know what happened? They came on the morrow. You see, when God says he's going to do something, it will be done. And we are told to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You need to be saved today. Now is the time for you to get right with God. How many times have you sat in front of your computer or your television or your phone or listening to these services, and you've been sitting there thinking about it and putting it off and off and off and off, and then suddenly God's going to come you off? Friend, you need to be ready to die today. You need to be right with God today. Only a fool will say some other time. And as I think about that, I can say to every believer, we don't have to fear tomorrow because the Lord has everything under control. I don't know about tomorrow what may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but the Savior goes before me. Praise God, I'm covered by the blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. Thank God I know who holds my hand. And for the believer, there's coming the great tomorrow, the final tomorrow, when we leave this scene of time and go into eternity, where God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things passed away. Friend, it's wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful to be able to look ahead and say, no matter what comes, I'm in Christ. What about you? If you would like some help in coming to Christ in terms of some scripture instruction to know exactly how to be saved, please do get in contact. If I can help you in any way, I can't save you, but I can show you from God's word how you can be saved. I will gladly take time and open the scriptures and show you God's promises to the sinner who will come and put their trust in him. But friend, why not call on the Lord now, where you are today? Ask him to save your soul, and then let us know that we can send you some information to help you in your walk with God, and rejoice with you in what the Lord has done in your life. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we believe you're speaking to hearts tonight, and we pray for those halting between two opinions, you'll give them grace to come through. Pray you'll save, Lord, to the uttermost those who come. And we pray, Lord, that you will be pleased to give the gifts of faith and repentance. Give signs following the preaching of thy word. What has been of man, let it fall to the ground. What has been of the Lord, let it prosper for the glory of thy name. Oh, Lord, build thy church, we pray. Save those who are in the bondage of sin tonight. Those who, Lord, in foolishness have left their soul on the road to hell without any concern. Cause them tonight to turn and call on the Lord for salvation. And we will give thee all the praise and the honor and all of the glory. For Lord, thou alone art worthy of all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.